No, no one mistakenly moved a decimal. It's been not four, but 41 years since this few people signed up for unemployment benefits. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news today that the number of people signing up for unemployment benefits fell to its lowest level in more than four decades. Couple that to real estate data from earlier in the week showing that home sales are coming off their best month in more than 8 years, and you get an American economy that's firing on more, if not all, of its cylinders. On Thursdays, we get a house call from Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago.
We're really finally seeing equity in people's home return to the previous highs. And it still may not be enough for people to list their homes and sell and make their closing costs, or they might still be afraid they can't sort of apply for a new mortgage to trade up. But we're finally starting to see some fundamental healing in the housing market.
Also, the economy at large is quite dependent on this. For instance, people tend to borrow against the value of their real estate. And if it is indeed getting a bit stronger, they may be able to take out some more home equity and do other things.
There's a sense of hope, a sense of an ability of getting back to where we were, being able to improve upon your home, tap into the home equity lines of credit. In fact, I've been getting mailings from banks again. I don't remember the last time all they came in like this. They're not junk bonds. It's not subprime. It's not stuff that's, you can't qualify for. The good news, though, is things are starting to feel a little more stable out there.
We also had a bullish sign from the jobs market. Not that many people found the need to sign up for unemployment benefits last week.
That is the lowest level since 1973, really dates me. But the good news is that we're continuing to see healing in the job market. I still want to see an increase in the participation rate, and I still want to see more hope out there. But that is, all of this is suggesting that, the longer the expansion goes on, the closer we get to really moving forward rather than just regaining ground lost. And that's what we want to be doing.
The reference to 1973 doesn't date you. You were not an economist back then, Diane. I think you were just a child.
I wasn't an economist. I wasn't an economist, but I was alive. So I'm not a millennial either.
I was alive, too. Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're also watching for confirmation of a possible merger between two huge health insurance companies, Anthem and Cigna, with the CEO of Anthem running the combination, we're told. Anthem stock is up 1.3%. Cigna is up 2.7%. Today, the Greek parliament voted in favor of new reforms demanded by the country's international creditors. This gets Greece closer to a $95 billion financial rescue. The reforms streamline Greece's court system and procedures for when a bank fails.
After another long debate and plenty of angry exchanges, Parliament approved the new reforms in the early hours of the morning. More than 30 MPs from the governing coalition voted against the measures. But crucially for the Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras, the number of rebels was slightly lower than last week. Mr. Tsipras was defiant, telling Parliament that he didn't really approve of the deal that had been imposed upon him by the rest of the Eurozone. But he stressed that it was the only way to keep Greece in the single currency. Negotiations will now begin on approving the terms of a third bailout, with the aim of completing a deal by the middle of next month.
The BBC's Chris Morris in Athens. Confirm that the bicycling is great in Portland, Maine and Portland, Oregon. The one on the left has even more infrastructure, 345 miles of bikeways, and now some new technology. Melanie Sevchenko reports.
I'm cruising on my bike alongside tech entrepreneur and cyclist William Henderson.
So the data that we'd be getting.
We stop at Clinton Street, a high traffic bike route in the southeast of Portland. Henderson shows me the data from our ride.
Here's the trip that we just took. So it's got the weather, it's got the mileage, and it's got the neighborhoods we travel to.
The app also allows cyclists to rate the trip.
And I thought that was a pretty good trip, so I give it a thumbs up, and then I'm done.
Henderson's app is called Ride. It asks cyclists to collect data as they ride around Portland. That data will then help the city to plan better cycling infrastructure, like lanes, signals, safer routes, and where to avoid traffic. Currently, 6% of Portland's population cycles to work, but that number leaps to 25% in the inner city. That's well above a national average of less than 1%.
Right now, you know, we have some great infrastructure for biking and walking and transit in Portland, but we're really not going to get any more space for our roads as the city grows. So we have to make more efficient use of it.
Software developer Chris Jones is using the app during this pilot phase. Jones says he likes it because it automatically starts tracking his route as soon as he starts pedaling.
It's nice to not have to open the app and say, like, okay, here we go. I'm starting my commute now. I want to just get on my bike and go where I'm going.
The goal is to have between 5,000 to 10,000 cyclists using the app by the end of the summer. And in addition to the app, Henderson is installing wireless bike counting sensors around the city to count cyclists. Margie Bradway is the active transportation manager at the Portland Bureau of Transportation. She says right now Portland counts cyclists by hand. Literally, volunteers on street corners with a pen and paper. Bradway is excited by all this new technology.
One of the reasons I'm really interested in this data is just to understand cyclist types and cyclist behavior. So when is someone willing to go on a busier street for a more direct route versus taking a local street that's farther away? And when we start to see this data, I think we'll see patterns and help us shape the future for transportation infrastructure for cycling.
In Portland, Oregon, I'm Melanie Savchenko for Marketplace.
And finally, you can afford a Ferrari, at least a Ferrari stock, which isn't quite like owning an F12 Berlinetta. Chrysler Fiat today filed for an initial public offering of Ferrari stock in the U.S. Fiat will still own 80% of the company, and Piero Ferrari, son of the founder Enzo, will still own his bit, leaving about 10% for the public. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.